Amen. Hey, how many of you guys have ever been driving around and you saw some weird sign like on a billboard in a shop store? It's like, what in the world did you just say? Have you ever went across those? Okay, for all those with the blank stares, which is 99.99% of you, let me help you out, John, okay? I'm told these are real, okay? These signs, okay, in public, okay? I'm not making this up, okay? A plumber had this sign, "We repair what your husband fixed." I guess that's called truth in advertising. On a maternity room door, "Push, push, push." Okay, I guess you'll get it open eventually. Veterinarian's waiting room, "Be back in 5 minutes." "Sit, stay." Okay. Optometrist office said, "Hey, if you don't see what you're looking for, you've come to the right place." Yeah, okay, I guess so. Taxidermist window said, "Hey, we really know our stuff." Yeah, real funny, that's kind of gross. London department store, kid you not, said, "Bargain basement upstairs." Right, which way do I go? Office said this, "Would the person who took the stepladder yesterday please bring it back or further steps will be taken?" Of course it will, because you ain't got the ladder. Outside a secondhand shop, not making it up, "We exchange anything, bicycles, washing machines, etc. Hey, why not bring your wife along and get a wonderful bargain, huh?" Yeah. And you men laughed at that? Yeah, it's called a long drive home. Let's move on. The kitchen said, "Hey, no husband has been shot for doing the dishes." Ladies, I expect you to cheer out of you for that one. It's like, are you kidding me? What, a moment of silence? A health food window, I'm not kidding, said, "Closed due to illness." Excuse me, that's kind of... in a field, the farmer says, "Hey, the farmer allows walkers to cross the field for free, but the bull charges." Yeah, think about that. That's true. And this leaflet said this, "If you cannot read, this leaflet will tell you how to get lessons." Yeah, Ron, let that sink in for a couple minutes. Okay, yeah, whatever. A repair shop door window said this, "We can repair anything. Please knock hard on the door. The bell doesn't work." And outside of muffler shop said, "Hey, no appointment necessary. We hear you coming." Okay. And speaker, which is kind of creepy, in the front yard of a funeral home said, "Hey, drive carefully. We'll wait." Ew, that's kind of creepy, right? But you guys see as you drive around, man, there's all kinds of weird signs out there, okay? Creepy, kind of weird and stuff, okay? But believe it or not, folks, I think I've found something even creepier and weirder than all those signs put together. And it's got to be this, okay? It's the hundreds of signs that God gives us every single day in the Bible indicating that we're living the last days, time is running out, judgment day is around the corner, and you better get saved if you're not. Yet the problem is what's weird, okay, what's creepy is people's response. What's the bulk of the world do? They shrug it off. They act like it's no big deal, okay? And it's not just creepy and weird. It's dangerous because that means they are running the risk of being left behind at the rapture of the church. And guess what? They'll be thrust into the 7-year tribulation, and it's not a joke. Jesus Christ said of that time frame, it is the worst time in the history of mankind, so horrible that unless God shortened the time frame, kept it to just 7 years, the entire human race would be destroyed. How many of you guys would say that's some time frame you'd want to avoid? Okay, exactly, okay? And that's why we've been seeing God's not just a God of wrath. He's a God of love as well. He doesn't want people to be under his wrath. He doesn't want them to end up in hell. Okay, so what's he do? He tells us in advance. He gives us a fair warning, okay? And that's why we're going to continue in our study, the final countdown, tribulation rising. Signs that the 7-year tribulation is getting close. Now, we don't know the exact day or the hour. The rapture happens prior to that. And, of course, that's common sense because what would we do? If God told us the exact day or the hour, we'd goof off to the very end, wouldn't we? Right? But he does give us signs that it's getting close, so you're not caught off guard. If you're saved, you need to get busy preaching Jesus Christ. If you're not saved, you need to get saved right now. Now, we've already seen the first sign that the 7-year tribulation is getting close, and that's the Jewish people and the Antichrist, as you can see there. The second one, a 16-week study, is the modern technology. And then the last 5 times, if you guys were here, we saw the third sign was the AI invasion. Okay, and this is based on a prophecy 2,600 years ago in the book of Daniel that told us that we would see an increase of knowledge all over the planet in the last days, and that's happening right now today on a massive scale, and it's leading to what the seculars call singularity, or what they define as, listen, where artificial intelligence, AI, machines, or robots literally take over the planet. Now, it sounds crazy, sounds like a wacky conspiracy theory, but that's from the secularists, okay? Now, the irony is they agree with what the Bible warned about 2,600 years ago. They just use different terminology. The Bible in the book of Daniel says when you see that increase of information, it's called the end of times. Well, they just call it singularity, but it's the exact same thing, okay? So we've been taking a look at this step-by-step process, AI, this information explosion, this information tsunami, and where is it headed just like the Bible said, okay? We saw the first overview was the race for AI. Even though the Bible and the secular are saying this is the dumbest thing we could do, Countries all around the world, including our own, are racing to create this at our own peril. Then we saw the definition of AI, the types of AI, the history of AI, the big data of AI, the makers of AI, and then the last two times was the future of AI. And let's just be blunt. What we saw, what's coming with the future of artificial intelligence, is not just not good, it is dangerous. It really is a threat, exactly like God warned about in the book of Daniel 2,600 years ago. It is invading virtually all sectors of society. That's why it's called the AI invasion, okay? And most people have no clue. In fact, if you recall, it's being called the new electricity. Just like electricity came out and now the whole world is dependent upon it, they're saying that's what's happening right now, all of the world with AI. And so we begin to break it down. And we saw the first area that AI is making an invasion into is in businesses. And we saw three ways that businesses around the world are being affected in a negative way by AI. And that was a decrease in jobs, a decrease in people. And the last one we saw, we left off, was an increase of robots. Remember that? Remember the robots going rogue and stuff? And what we saw is they're being deceitful about that. They say, oh, don't worry, robots aren't going to take over your work. That's a lie, number one. Then they say, hey, robots ain't going to take over the world. Excuse me? We saw the virtual AI entities, they're showing signs of going rogue, okay? And then they put the same AI in actual robots. Is it a shocker that they are also going rogue? It's the whole thing. And they keep coming out, and we saw the videos, if you were here, where they're saying they not only hate and detest humanity, but they're going to take over the planet. That's coming from the AI. It's crazy, folks. But again, that's what God said would happen when you're living in the end of times, okay? But I'm still preaching, so guess what? That's right, Debbie. There's got to be more, and there is. The second invasion, the second area that AI is taking over. We're going to deal with this, Lord willing, for two studies. It's how big of a topic this one is, and that is in the area of finance, okay? Not just businesses, but what goes along with businesses. Businesses generate money, finances. Businesses want you to what? Buy and sell, okay? This has everything, folks, to do with what the Bible talks about in the last days. It's not just taking over businesses, but finances, okay? And I believe this has everything to do. When you couple the first one with business and now this one with finance, it has everything to do with what the Bible talks about, the mark of the beast system that's going to be fully implemented in the seven-year tribulation. But as always, don't take my word for it. Let's listen to God. Revelation 13 is our opening text, the classic text with the Antichrist, the false prophet, going to grab control of the world, not just with Big Brother issues. They're going to grab the economy of the world. They're going to be able to micromanage the planet down to every single transaction. I'm not saying that. God did. But let's open our Bibles. Revelation 13, 11 through 17, page 1953 in my Bible. That helps. And let's go ahead and stand as we read God's holy word. Prophesied nearly 2,000 years ago from the Apostle John, these are events, again, that take place in the seven-year tribulation. We, the church, the bride of Christ, we leave prior to the seven-year tribulation with the rapture. Okay, but the point is this, we're not afraid of the mark of the beast. I'm not afraid of the mark of the beast because we're not going to be around for the mark of the beast. But the point in studying it today, and anytime we study this issue, if we see the technology, the machinery, the global mechanisms in place to pull off this event prophesied 2,000 years ago, then how much closer is the rapture of the church that takes place prior? That's the point for us. It should drill home, man, time is running out. But let's take a look at that. Verse 11, then I saw another beast, and he's talking about the false prophet. He already talked about the beast, the Antichrist. And this is another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. The dragon is identified in Revelation as Satan clearly. So just like the Antichrist, the false prophet is inspired by Satan. And he exercised authority of the first beast, the Antichrist, on his behalf, and he made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose fatal wound had been healed. And he performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men. Now, because of these signs he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast, the Antichrist, he deceived the inhabitants of the earth. And here's what he did. He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. And he was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that it could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to what? To be killed. Wait, Lord willing, if we're still alive and still here, when we get towards the end of our AI study and the images being combined with AI and how realistic they are on a, it's just, wow, it's crazy. But here's what he did. Here's our point for today. And he also what? He forced everyone. Now, you guys seem like a bright crowd, okay? How many guys would say that everyone means everyone? Give me a golf clap. You guys are amazing. Just it's incredible. And in case you don't get it, I love what he says. He breaks it down. Okay, he says not only for everyone, but what's he say? Small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to what? To receive a mark on his right hand or his forehead. Why? So that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. You may be seated if you can there. But again, we've been here many times in our prophecy studies, but this is the classic passage, Revelation 13, that tells us from the Word of God 2,000 years ago that, believe it or not, whether you realize it or not, okay, that there's going to come a day in the seven-year tribulation when all the inhabitants of the earth, they're not just going to be under the authority of the Antichrist. Okay, that was the prior part there with the big brother system, and eventually we'll get to that as well with AI. But it says here they're also going to be under the economy or the monetary system on a global basis of the Antichrist, right? And that's what it says there, that you can't do anything. You can't buy or sell. What do you need to buy and sell? That's money. That's finances. That's transactions, right? So believe it or not, one day our planet is not just going to be under a one-world economy controlled by the Antichrist and the false prophet, but apparently it's going to be digitized and monitored in such a micromanaged way that they're literally going to not just know, but they will have absolute instantaneous control of every single transaction on the planet. And you're thinking, man, that's a big ordeal. I mean, could that really happen? Is there any signs of this happening? Yeah. Okay, as we've seen in our other prophecy studies, the back-end system for a global economy with a World Bank and universal transactions, we're heading towards a cashless society, and what's even being pushed through this COVID virus, cashless society. Now they're saying the shortage, it's all going cashless, and that's what you need. All that system we saw in our other studies is already in place. Now here's the point. What people don't realize is these same globalists and elitists that are pushing for this global economy, tying all the world's finances together, they've got all the machinery in place, it's too big for you. Humans, right? This is a global thing. So guess what they're looking upon as the solution to tie it all together and manage the whole back end? Yes, it rhymes with AI, for those of you wondering why this is called the AI invasion. Okay, you guys are brilliant today. Yeah, it's AI. Okay, it's crazy. Now, that's kind of common sense if you think about it, right? Because you're talking about controlling the whole finances on the planet. Every country's economy is completely controlled. All the buying and selling in every single country around the whole planet, every single transaction, every single purchase, you name it, that is literally being controlled by this Antichrist and false prophet guy. So think about it. That's a huge, crazy, complex system, right? No amount of accountants can pull that off. I don't care how many bank tellers you hire. It just ain't enough. Humans can't handle that. But guess what can? AI. For the first time in mankind's history, the superhuman power needed to pull off this micromanaging of every single purchase of buying and selling, not just the back-end machinery, it's here. It's called AI. And it's not just something they're thinking about, folks. This is what I want to talk about the next 2 weeks, Lord willing. They're already putting it into play. The machinery's in place. Now the superhuman AI ability to manage it and micromanage it through AI is being done as well. Now, the first way they're doing that is they're pushing AI in our personal finances. Okay? It's the panacea for everything, right? If you just get AI to control your finances, man, your life is going to be great. Now, what most people don't realize is, believe it or not, artificial intelligence, including running our personal finances, it's been going on for quite some time. If you recall in our business section, businesses being reliant upon AI, that's been going on since the 80s. Most people don't even realize that for the 80s. Well, it's the same thing when it comes to finances, okay? Back in the 80s, there was a system called PlanPower that was an AI system that would tailor financial plans for individuals with incomes over $75,000, right? They'd manage it for them. Then they came out with another one called Client Profiling System, and that would manage your financial profile from anywhere from $25,000 to $200,000. So they kind of expanded the reach there. But then it went nuts. And again, this was in the 80s. Imagine how much more complex it is today. Then they began to branch out with other AI services like AI in the 80s, financial investment planning, debt planning, retirement planning, AI education planning, AI life insurance planning, AI budget recommendations, AI income tax planning, AI saving all kinds of things. AI back in the 80s was already making its inroads into let us control your personal finances with artificial intelligence. Now that was back in the 80s. And of course, it's been much more advanced. Okay, but now where they have it today is they're making it convenient for you, right? And it's called AI financial apps. There truly is an app for everything. So this is where it's at now. So now, not just corporations, not people that make a lot of money, but even the individual can have AI run your personal finances. Okay, let me give you a couple of examples of the AI apps right now and what they can do for you, right? There's one out there called Digit. Okay, and listen to what this thing does. That's an AI app that automatically helps consumers optimize your spending habits and savings based on your personal goals. And what it does is it automatically, in the back end, without you even knowing what's going on, analyzes your monthly income, your current balance, your spending habits, and it makes decisions on its own based on your goals and transfers money to your savings account. Now, that's convenient, but that's kind of creepy. And you ain't doing it. But that's just one. They also have another one out there called the AI Wallet. And this one actually goes a step further. It doesn't just manage your system. It tells you when you're getting out of line. Yeah, watch this. This is crazy.
Technology is great when it makes our life easier. This is why we are proud to present to you AI Wallet. With AI Wallet, you can use your smartphone the same way you use your wallet. You can make purchases, pay for your meals, and manage your transactions from anywhere with internet connectivity. No long payment or ATM queues, no check deposit delays, and no more bulky wallet from loose change. Just scan the QR code of the person you want to transfer to and enter the amount. It's just that simple. That's not all. Users can now reload their phone credits and pay their utility bills through Air Wallet. Just sit tight and pay your bills from the comfort of your home.
Wow. In premarital counseling and in marital counseling, and if our marriage study, you guys got that memorized, that 12-week study, remember that?
Sure, Pastor Billy.
Thank you, Ruth. We saw that 80% of all marital arguments, well, we're Christians, you can't call it arguments, it's intense moments of fellowship, right? 80% of intense moments of fellowship comes over, guess what? Money. And wouldn't it be so convenient if you had the AI wallet or that Digit thing and it could run the whole thing for you and it, you know, you can see how people get sucked into this. And again, this is going on with your finances, monitored 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, making the decisions for you. In fact, AI Wallet goes a step further. It gathers all information that you're doing from your everyday activities, what you eat, where you shop, social media updates, online purchases, and it ties it all together. It'll help make those decisions based on your habits and let you know if you're getting out of line. There's another one called AI app. It's called Plum. Now listen to what this one does. It's a savings assistant that deducts money from your income and places it into an interest-earning savings account. And it uses algorithms to compare your income against your spending patterns. It calculates, listen, how much is left over, and it transfers it automatically to your savings account. And what their pitch is, hey, we can save you $200 just like that without you even knowing it. Just let us run all your finances for you. And there's another one. This one's kind of creepy. It's called Acorns. As in the little squirrel nut thing. And it's a mobile app that links your credit and debit cards. It rounds up the value of every purchase you make automatically. You're just doing your thing. It automatically rounds it up, invests the extra money or difference into a shared portfolio. Let me give you an example. For instance, if you buy pizza at $4.25, the AI app automatically rounds up to $5. It takes that 75 cents and puts it in your portfolio. So, I mean, this is great. I mean, AI, if you just let AI run your finances, it'll make sure that you get to retirement on time. Right? You can see how people are going into it. But isn't this great? If you just let AI control all your personal finances and the back end monitoring you, and you can see where this is headed. Okay, but we still got a ways to go. The second way the AI is making an invasion in our finances is in personal taxes. Now, we already talked about those intense moments of fellowship. But you want to talk about some serious intense moments of fellowship, sit down at the table and do taxes, right? Isn't that so scintillating? Don't you feel so, we hate doing taxes, right? Who likes doing taxes? So if only we had somebody who would do our taxes for us. Well, guess what? Guess who's coming in? Riding on the white horse, AI. And specifically, the one we saw before, created by IBM, Watson. If you would let Watson take care of your taxes, only he knows all those tax rules for you, and he'll get you more money. Watch this.
Introducing the biggest advancement in tax preparation technology. Say hello to the partnership between H&R Block and IBM Watson.
Hello, my name is Watson.
Imagine being able to understand all 74,000 pages of the U.S. tax code, along with thousands of yearly tax law changes and other information. Plus, blocks deep insights built from over 600 million data points. Yes, 600 million. Imagine being able to understand all that information. H&R Block Tax Pros with Watson will be able to help you find every deduction, credit, and opportunity available.
What do you get when you combine an H&R Block Tax Pro with the deduction-finding superpower of IBM Watson? Ah! You get more money.
Ah! Who doesn't want that? Not just somebody doing all the taxes for you. Finding every little nook and cranny of what you could write off. 600,000 different ways you can... gonna get you more money. It gets even worse than that. They're not just looking at AI to do your taxes. They want AI to run national taxes, global taxes. I believe there's going to come a day when people will beg, please, IRS, please come back. Because listen to what they want to do. They want AI to, quote, reduce tax fraud. AI technology has served as a valuable tool for tax auditors, you know, like the IRS. It gives them the ability to see, listen, hidden patterns in existing data, progressively improve performance. It plays a pivotal role in reducing fraud, waste, and abuse in organizations of all types and sizes, including departments of revenue that collect taxes. It'll even manage the IRS. Make sure they're doing their part, too. Right? Now, it also, listen, provides tremendous value for the government tax authorities, especially when used upon tax returns. Listen, not just tax returns, financial transactions, period, taxpayer contracts, accounts receivable, network traffic, and even employee activity. So you don't just want to have it take over the whole taxes, not just individually, but now nationally and around the world. How are you going to escape that? It knows everything. I mean, it should be honest anyway, but still, think of the Big Brother issues. There is no place to hide when that happens, okay? And again, I think that's a very valuable tool to have if you're the Antichrist and you want to know everything about every transaction, what everybody's doing. It's all being run by AI. It's not just the systems in place. AI is starting to take it over, including taxes. Now, the third way they're doing it is with personal businesses. Okay, you got to have AI run your business, okay? And again, this is something that's been going on for quite some time. Again, back in the 80s, businesses, believe it or not, were developing these AI programs to save them all kinds of cash. In fact, even back in the 80s, two-thirds of Fortune 1000 companies had at least one AI project being developed. Now, think about it. Back in the 80s, this is what blows me away with this technology. Back in the 80s, who was even talking about AI? But AI was already being developed and used by businesses and running finances and all kinds of stuff. We don't even know about it. And that was back then, folks, 40 years ago. And look at how much more advanced it is today. DuPont, even back then, they built their own AI system to run their business. It saved them, at that point, $10 million per year, which is about $31 million our cost today. So even back then, they're saying, man, this is going to save your business money. Right now, today, all kinds of businesses, I'm not going to redo our two-week study on businesses, but businesses today are saying, man, AI is not just convenient, it'll run the whole system, but it knows every nook and cranny, your spending habits, this, it'll run your whole system for you, it'll save you money. Hotel chains are really big on this right now. They're saying it's going to cut anywhere from 10 to 15% of costs, not just manage it. It's so much, it's going to save them millions and millions of dollars. Okay. In fact, right now, AI is being pitched to run not just these big corporations, not just hotel chains. They're really pitching it for the individual average Joe business. You've got to have AI run your business. And of course, they try to sell it to you with a bunch of supposed positive things that's going to happen. They say, hey, AI can help your business make smarter decisions. It can help your business run faster. It can help you with continual performance improvement. In other words, it monitors absolutely everything you do and your employees do and tell you how to do it even better. Big Brother on steroids, right? It'll help you with clearing invoice payments. It'll help you with auditing expense claims. Man, who likes doing that? It'll determine bonus accruals, okay? It will help with bookkeeping. Huh, man. In fact, it'll do it even better than people. Watch this.
Whether you're just starting out or an industry giant, there's one thing you need: bookkeeping. You could do it yourself, but that takes time away from important things like running your business. You could hire someone, but between human error, turnover, and training pains, a lot is left to be desired. There's a faster, more efficient answer than any other bookkeeping solution: BotKeeper. It's the 21st century. Isn't it time to let AI and tech handle the labor-intensive data entry and manual work of bookkeeping? BotKeeper gets work done in hours, not weeks. Get near real-time financials as well as customizable reports with intuitive dashboards for both desktop and mobile. With more accurate numbers, use data to make actionable business decisions. Oh, and price. BotKeeper's usually 50% less expensive than both internal or alternative outsourced options.
You're a young business starting up. Who wouldn't want that? All right, plus you don't have to deal with the headaches of people. They keep wanting a raise, man. They want this healthcare stuff. They want a stock options, 401k plan. They whine and complain. They don't like what they don't always do with it. Not with AI. You could run the whole system. You can see how people get sucked into this. But that's not all. They say, hey, we'll help you map risk assessments for your business. We'll calculate detailed analytics. We'll do automatic approval workflows. We'll create revenue operations for you. And let me give you some examples. This is AI in action for businesses. It'll notify sellers when an action must be taken. For instance, this is AI speaking back to the business owner. I found a new sales opportunity in your territory, right? Gives you new leads. It's Friday morning. Here's your pipeline forecast. Make sure you don't miss important news for your business. It's been 3 days since the Acme contract was submitted for approval. Hey, stop slacking. Don't be procrastinary. You're going to miss a great business opportunity, right? It'll also guide your sellers through a business process so you don't miss anything. Here's AI speaking again. Karen Smith at Acme has requested a quote. Would you like me to prepare it for you for review? Right? Because you can't miss that. Hey, we don't have an NDA in place with Acme, let alone let me create one for you. That's AI speaking to the business owner. It monitors everything. Nothing misses its scope, right? How was your meeting with Acme? Let me help you take some notes, right? Because you don't want that to go to waste. And finally, it can orchestrate a revenue cycle. Watch this. AI speaking, you're at 50% quota now. Let me create a plan to get you to 100%. You don't even need to have a brain. Let AI do the business for you, and that's a little dangerous there. You haven't touched Acme opportunity for 3 weeks. Let me suggest steps you can take to win this opportunity. And finally, I've identified, the AI says, high-risk language in the Acme contract. Would you like me to see a report so that we can address the issues? You know, fix the contracts for it. Make sure it's got the right language so you can secure that deal. AI running the whole thing. It could also transform the customer experience. Watch this.
In today's highly competitive marketplace, grocery retailers strive to create a seamless shopping experience that drives sales and builds loyalty with their customers. IoT-connected devices such as beacons, video cameras, digital signage, and smart shelves provide access to huge amounts of new data on customer activity and present more opportunities for sophisticated insights and immersive customer engagement. IoT data is used to track the effectiveness of store layouts, exposure to promotions, product interactions, and use of digital kiosks and mobile apps. This data is analyzed in real time to create deep insights into customer preferences and path to purchase. Digital assistance allows customers to find the items on their list, interest them in new products, and select promotions to save money. And for marketers, identifying customer desire, delivering curated content to upsell and cross-sell, and measuring the success of promotions has never been simpler and more accurate. IoT provides service-level metrics and enables store managers to eliminate long queues, schedule staff efficiently through cognitive intelligence, and make sure customer expectations are being met at every service point in the store.
Anybody starting to feel like a rat in a cage? Now, that's just one business, specifically a grocery store. Now, what's freaky about that, it's all tied with AI. We'll get to this in a second. Everything has sensors on it, which they've changed the term. They used to call it for what it is, microchips. But people freak out when you say microchips. But everything has microchips on it. It's all being monitored with Big Brother technology, AI watching the whole thing. And it literally tracks you around that business and sees everything that you do. You pick something up. How long you picked it up? Did you put it in your cart? Did you put it back? And it creates detailed reports back to the business owner. Why did that person not buy that? Why did they pick it up? Why didn't it come to a point of sale? And they use it. They follow you around the store. How do we do our displays better so it can get people to buy and sell more? But you see, it's all tracked. The person, the product, everything. And where do you think that's going to eventually be headed? Revelation 13, folks. It's absolutely common sense. Okay, it's all being tied together. That whole system to literally micromanage the planet, all buying and selling, every personal financial transaction, it's being put into play. And guess who's the panacea? Because that's too big for humans. But guess who can do it? AI. and it's being put into place right now. Now, what's crazy is it's one thing for to recognize that, and we might have a tendency to resist that, going like, man, that's Big Brother on steroids. That's I don't want to be a rat wherever I go, being monitored, tracked, and I become a data source to them. That's their phrase. You just create data for them. And it's all for the purposes of manipulating you to get more money out of you to buy stuff. Okay, that's bad enough as it is. But what you don't realize is our country is warming up to this. In fact, watch this. Gen Zers, those are from age 22 and younger, not just millennials. Gen Zers are the highest adopters of this kind of technology. And in fact, across America right now, Americans are more likely to trust AI with their finances than trust it to drive a car, post social media, or select a wardrobe. So you're seeing a major portion of our country, not including just around the world, they want AI to control our finances. They want AI to provide that kind of wonderful experience, personally, but also in your business, your taxes, you name it. But again, you know where it's headed, okay? And that's where I believe we are going to be headed pretty soon. You tie all this together, the databases together, our history of our purchases together, it's going to know everything about you better than you. It's going to create a profile. It's going to know your whole financial structure. Just have fun trying to buy something in the future. Now, this is a parody, but I believe there's a lot of truth to it, and I don't think we're that far away from it. This is a parody of, if you will, an AI assistant. On the one end, a man calls in to the AI assistant. He's just trying to order some pizza. But watch how the conversation goes. Based on the technology is already being laid out. This is crazy.
Pizza Palace, guaranteed hot in 30 minutes or it's free. This is Mary. May I take your order?
Hi, Mary. Yes, I'd like to order.
Is this Mr. Kelly?
Yes.
Thank you for calling again, sir. I share your national identification number as 610-204-9998-45-54610. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. I see you live at 736 Montrose Court, but you're calling from your cell phone. Are you at home?
I'm just leaving work, but I'm...
Oh, we can deliver to Bob's Auto Supply. That's at 175 Lincoln Avenue, yes?
No, I'm on my way home. How do you know all this stuff?
We just got wired into the system, sir.
Oh, well, I'd like to order a couple of your double meat special pizzas.
Sure thing. There'll be a new $20 charge for those, sir.
What do you mean?
Sir, the system shows me that your medical records indicate that you have high blood pressure and extremely high cholesterol. Luckily, we have a new agreement with your national health care provider that allows us to sell you double meat pies as long as you agree to waive all future claims of liability.
What?
Do you agree, sir? You can sign the form when we deliver, but there is a charge for processing. The total is $67 even.
$67?
Well, that includes the delivery surcharge of $15 to cover the added risk to our driver of traveling through an orange zone.
I live in an orange zone?
Now you do. Looks like there was another robbery on Montrose yesterday. You could save $48 if you ordered our special Sprout Submarine Combo and picked it up yourself. Comes with tofu sticks. Those are very tasty, sir. Good value, too.
But I want double meat.
Well, I'm sure you can afford the $67, then. You just bought those tickets to Hawaii. They weren't cheap, eh? Oh, but I see you checked out the budget beach bum at the library last week. Up to you, sir.
All right. I'll get the Sprout subs.
Good choice, sir. Gotta watch that waist if you're hitting the beach, eh? 42 inches. Wow. Man, I'd say tofu and sprouts is, like, required.
That's how much?
Just between you and me, there's a $3 off coupon in this month's Total Men's Fitness magazine. Your wife Betty subscribes to that, right? Anyhow, clip that and it's $19.99 even. Whoa, looks like you maxed out on all your credit cards.
Want to stop this from happening?
Yeah, I'd like to. How about you? We laugh about it because what? I think that system's already in place, personally. But it's coming out in the open now with AI running the whole thing because no amount of people can do it, but AI can. And where do you think all this is headed, folks? You tie all this together, the businesses, the finances, AI run the whole thing. That's going to be the reality. And there's going to be something, I believe, an AI system in the background that at one time, specifically in the 7 years of tribulation, it will say, no, you're not going to buy and sell. You are shut out of the system because you didn't take this smart. We're seeing the infrastructure being put in place, and for the first time, AI, the superhuman ability to handle it, is happening right now. It's already being launched out. That's going to culminate in the 7 year tribulation. We leave prior, folks. Guess what? Rapture practice. It's all coming together. We better get motivated, okay? But let me give you one more. This is where it gets down to the individual level, kind of like what you saw in that shopping store experience, and that's personal purchases, right? It's not just your personal finances. It's not just your personal taxes. It's not just a personal business, all businesses and things of that nature. But I'm talking about they are literally going to be able to micromanage every single thing you do, every single purchase, every little item that you could possibly ever buy or sell. This system is already being put into place. Now, what you saw with that grocery store analogy, and they use the term, okay, that they describe to create this net. I call it the matrix. I call it the Mark of the Beast matrix that literally through microchip technology connects every person with every product. But it's even beyond that. Okay, it's called the IoT or the Internet of Things. We talked a little bit about this in our modern technology study. But this system, the Internet of Things, it goes beyond just microchips in people, microchips in products. It's every single thing. It's every car. It's every streetlight. It's even embedded in the roads. It's in the business structures, everything. And it's all communicating, all tech, like a net. And all it does is just create this information to monitor the whole system, okay? But let me give you an example. They pitch this IoT, this Internet of Things, microchips connecting everything, like it's going to be the greatest utopia ever. Let's take a look at this.
When everything becomes linked with everything else, matter becomes mind, and the possibilities become endless. Imagine 50 billion IoT connected devices by 2020. Now, imagine the economic impact of these connected machines. $4 to $11 trillion per year by 2025. Wearable devices, environmental sensors, agricultural machinery, components in a vehicle, or devices in homes can all be connected to deliver insights and drive transformation. So imagine if you had smart devices in your home, your car, your workplace, or even on yourself. The world becomes alive. That's Internet of Things. The Internet of Things is making everyday objects into data factories. When Internet of Things, along with big data, meets artificial intelligence, this interface will become enlivened with intelligence, and a new world will take birth, which will increasingly talk back to us.
And do you hear what it's saying? Welcome to the Mark of the Beast system, warned about in the Bible 2,000 years ago. Of course, they're not going to say, hey, guys, we're building the Mark of the Beast system. People might have a tendency to freak out, especially you guys, because you're so brilliant today. Right? So what do? It's the same thing they always do. Don't call it a one-world religion. Call it interfaith, ecumenicalism. Don't call it one-world government. Call it the New World Order or global governments. Don't call it Big Brother technology. Call it a smartphone, a smart home, smart watch. That's all Big Brother. Don't call it the Mark of the Beast system that's going to tie in every single person, every single product around the whole planet. Let's call it the Internet of Things. It's exactly what this is. Now, the other big milestone, okay, did you notice the 2020 date? Okay, the other big milestone that's pulling this off, because it's one thing to, okay, put microchips in everything, okay, and so that's step one, but you got to have the infrastructure to tie it all together, okay? And what they're relying upon is the internet, okay? The internet is what ties it all together, and AI's running it, so AI's monitoring it. Well, this is the big thing that's happening literally right now as we sit here. We talked about before, again, in our modern technology study. Our internet around the world right now as we sit here is currently undergoing a change, a radical change. We're moving up to what's called the 5G network. Now, the big thing about the 5G network is not only possible all kinds of health issues, that's a whole other study, okay, but it allows them for the first time to pull what you just saw off. 5G has the speeds capable to run the system. Our system right now is too slow. This new one, it'll pull it off. Watch how fast this new one is.
Every new generation of wireless networks delivers faster speeds and more functionality to our smartphones. 1G brought us the very first cell phones, 2G let us text for the first time, 3G brought us online, and 4G delivered the speeds that we enjoy today. But as more users come online, 4G networks have just about reached the limit of what they're capable of at a time when users want even more data for their smartphones and devices. Now we're headed toward 5G, the next generation of wireless. It will be able to handle 1,000 times more traffic than today's networks, and it'll be up to 10 times faster than 4G LTE. Just imagine downloading an HD movie in under a second, and then let your imagination run wild. 5G will be the foundation for virtual reality, autonomous driving, the Internet of Things, and stuff we can't even yet imagine.
Self-driving cars, smart cities, fully connected homes, robots. This is the future, and it will be powered by 5G. The G stands for generation, as in next generation wireless network, and it's going to be fast. But when? 2020 is the working date for most of the wireless industry. Four nationwide carriers are already testing the technology. Chipmakers are building processors and radios for 5G communication, and network equipment companies are building the backbone. But 5G is about more than just super fast downloads and fewer dropped calls. It's really about connecting the Internet of Things, all those sensors, thermostats, cars, robots. Right now, 4G just doesn't have the bandwidth for all those devices, but 5G will. That's why it's a game changer. Imagine self-driving cars instantly communicating with traffic lights and other cars, or a surgeon with VR equipment and special gloves operating remotely on a patient thousands of miles away. 5G will make that possible.
As well as, guess what else? Allow the speeds capable to create literally a global matrix system that monitors, as you saw, even way beyond what the Bible talks about, just buying and selling. It monitors everything. As we sit here, folks, that system right now is being put into place, right? And again, I believe this is going to ultimately culminate, and it will be the machinery in the seven-year tribulation for the Mark of the Beast system. And again, we leave prior. So if we see the groundwork being laid now, again, we don't know the day nor the hour, but guess what? The rapture's got to be getting close. And that's the action point for you and I. Now, as we get ready to close, as we've seen before, I want to kind of point out some of the people who've been working on this system for decades. Now, I can't get into all of them. Okay, we'll talk about two. And the first one I want to talk about is also two of the people who are huge in AI. It's not just having 5G. It's not just microchips. But guess what's running the whole system? AI. Again, humans can't do it. It's too complex. It's too big. But AI can. And one of the biggest AI makers on the planet for decades who've been working on this technology, specifically the microchip technology, is IBM. Now, why is that important? Because one of the most popular, well-known AI sources out there is IBM's Watson. We just saw it again with the commercial. It can do your taxes for you. It can do all kinds of things for you. Okay, but that's IBM's Watson. Okay, now IBM just happens to be the same company as we saw in our other prophecy studies, who even 20 years ago or more, they were working on a microchip technology called RFID. You guys familiar with that? It's an acronym that stands for Radio Frequency Identification. And basically, in a nutshell, this is a tiny microchip that can be affixed to anything. In fact, I remember back in my original studies on that technology, even back in the early 2000s, personally, it can even be a microchip can be produced in ink form, so they could actually embed the RFID microchip. They could print it on the labeling of a package, and what you thought was the dot on the letter I on that granola bar on the packaging for the nutrition, that's a microchip. But you wouldn't know, because they can even do that with it as well. So they've been working on this for a long time, okay? And believe it or not, IBM, as we saw before, let's revisit a couple videos, but now in our context with tying it together on a global basis, they really do want to tie every product on the planet together with microchip technology, RFID, so that they can see where every single product is at anywhere at any time on the whole planet in real time. Now here's just one of their commercials promoting that goal.
Would you kindly tell me what you're doing in the road?
I'm with the help desk. You're lost. You're headed to Fresno.
Fresno, right.
This is the road to Albuquerque.
How'd you know we were lost?
The boxes told me.
The boxes?
RFID radio tags on the cargo. Helps track shipments.
The boxes knew we were lost. Maybe the boxes should drive. Very funny.
Now, here's what's wild. I went ahead and checked the date, did some research on that commercial. That commercial was made by IBM, who's developed AI, Watson, for a long time now, 20 years ago. 20 years ago, they admitted, what do they want to do? We want to take microchips and we want to put them in every single product conceivable and track it in real time anywhere on the planet. As crazy as that sounds, 20 years ago. And of course, the thing, if you're going to create that Internet of Things, i.e. the Mark of the Beast system, monitor buying and selling, it's not just the products you're going to have to connect, you're going to have to connect what? People, right? So does IBM really have plans of putting microchips in people and creating this seamless transaction system? Yes. Let's again take a look at another one of their commercials.
Sir. Forgot your receipt.
Check outlines. Who needs them?
Have a nice day.
This is the future of e-business.
Also 20 years ago. So you put these two together, I don't think it's a conspiracy theory. IBM admitted 20 years ago that what they really want to do as a business is we want to tie all products, all people together in this seamless system so that we can monitor and track all the buying and selling, the purchases. What do you think that is? Right? Now, and this is my own personal theory. So at the same time, 20 years ago, you developed this microchip technology that can be affixed to all products, all the things that we can buy and sell. And apparently you want to now do it to people, okay? Because by the way, that same RFID technology, the microchip, it does three things simultaneously. It's not a quinky-dink. It not only stores and receives information about the product, it can also be used as a tracking device, as you saw in the commercial. They knew exactly where the product was in the semi. But it can also be used simultaneously to make financial transactions. All three in that one technology, RFID. And IBM is pushing that, not only products, but also people, so that you could literally just walk right out, automatically deduct from your account. So my point is, you launch that across the globe, what's going to be their obvious problem? I'm sure they thought ahead. They think, well, wait a second. No amount of humans can manpower that kind of a system, certainly not on a global basis. So guess what they've been developing for 20 years or more? At the same time they developed that technology. Artificial intelligence, absolutely. I don't think that's by chance. And I think that's part of the reason why they're pushing Watson, their AI, into finances, because it's needed to manage that system that they want to build. Now, they're not the only one. There's other entities, okay? But you take a look at that, and you could easily see, you know, again, 2,000 years ago, we were warned about this system coming, the Mark of the Beast. We're seeing it unfold today, okay? But that's exactly, folks, what this is. Again, now what you just saw, John the Apostle wrote this down 2,000 years ago. He must have like, what? How in the world could this happen? But based on what we saw, let's read it again. Revelation 13, 16 through 17. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead. Why? So that no one, and this is on a global basis, could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. How in the world could that happen? Folks, and that's a whole other topic, isn't it, brother? Right? Okay, but think about it. The technology is not coming. The technology is here. The desire has been around for a long time. The infrastructure is already being put into play, and AI has finally arrived to be able to handle it. It's not by chance. But I don't know about you, but I'm just so encouraged that I get it. IBM has been wanting to do this for two decades. They've been working at it, you know, with the microchips and put them in products and even people, and AI's come along to manage the system. But it's a good thing that we don't see that kind of a shopping experience today where that guy just bought what he wanted and just walked right out. I mean, that's got to be way down the road, right? No, it's already happening with another company who's also big on AI, and it rhymes with Amazon. Watch this.
I'm inside the brand new Amazon Go grocery store. I'm going to give you a sneak peek. You might have seen Amazon Go before, but this has fresh produce. It's an entirely new concept from Amazon. I'm going to check it out. I can buy things like meat, fruit and vegetables, and bread, and there is no checkout required. All right, I've got my app on my phone. All I have to do is tap that. I've got my QR code ready, and I just scan to go in. Amazon invited us inside the store in Seattle, Washington, just a few days before opening, and we got a good look around. I think I'm going to have roast chicken for dinner. Now, there's a lot of the brands that you might see in Whole Foods. Remember that Amazon owns Whole Foods. So if I want to have a roast chicken with roast potatoes, that's something that I'll be able to buy the entire meal here. Now, remember that all of this, I don't have to have my wallet on me. It's not even using my phone. It's all just using the cameras in the ceiling. I can't even count how many cameras are up there, but they're all watching me, working out where I'm moving in the store. Imagine it kind of like a driverless car. So the car can detect objects on the road like a pedestrian, but in this case, I'm the pedestrian. It's that same sort of technology powered by machine learning and using so many cameras. I mean, you think there's more surveillance cameras in a regular store? I think you're probably mistaken. I feel kind of like I'm being watched right now. So while it might be like a regular grocery store and I can pick up things like a bottle of ketchup or some laundry detergent, I can also pick up fresh fruit and vegetables. Now, that makes sense for me as a shopper. I might want to choose this tomato or this one. Nah, I think I'm going to choose this one. Me being picky and fussy is kind of normal for my regular grocery shop, but it makes it quite difficult for the cameras above me to know what I'm doing. These cameras, and there's loads of them through the store, have to be able to detect me. They have to also know what I'm doing in the produce aisle. Don't want a tomato anymore. I'm going to get an avocado.
What makes this very challenging is you have a lot of unpackaged items. These are very considered purchases. People come in and they pick up different items. They
I
want to put
reach
things
over
back.
You
they
want
to reach
pick
over
up this.
That.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to make it as natural and convenient for customers, all while maintaining the accuracy of your receipts. All of this happens using cameras and machine learning and deep learning algorithms in the cloud.
The other difference about this store is you've got a lot of things like doors opening and closing. So if I want to get something from the frozen aisle, that's great for me. But what happens when the cameras are obscured by a door? What happens if the door's messed up? It makes it pretty difficult. So Amazon says they've had to update the machine learning that's powering this store to make sure that they can still see everything that's going on. So there you have it. I've just walked through an entire grocery store, and this is pretty much the checkout experience. I just walk out the doors. Amazon calls it their just walk out technology. The idea is I don't need to talk to anyone. I don't need to pay anyone. It's detected me through the entire store, and everything's going to get emailed to me via the app.
Wow. Talk about shades of the IBM commercial 20 years ago. And it's already being launched as we speak. And you can see how people get into this very convenient, especially with this virus going around. You know, you don't want to mess with handling money or money. I mean, what about just this person checking you out? Or they might have goobers on them, you know. But hey, if we switch to this system, man, it'll be, don't need money, no checkout lines, I don't need to talk to anybody, they can't infect me, and it's all controlled by what did he say it was controlled by? AI. Very interesting. But see, there's one problem, though, with this system that they've launched. It's all based on the microchips in the cell phones. But the problem is, we know with cell phones, what unfortunately happens? They can get cracked, they can get destroyed, you can drop them in water, or they can get stolen. And then how are you going to traverse in this wonderful buying and selling atmosphere without your cell phone, right, that you've now become so dependent upon? Maybe it'll even become mandatory as a safer way of shopping and all this stuff that's going on today. Why, no? How about you take that same microchip that's in the phone and put it in the person? I don't know. Where would you guys think a good place to put it? Maybe the right hand or the forehead or something like that, maybe. We laugh about it because we could see how it could all fit together. Oh, and by the way, AI will run the whole thing. The AI invasion has already begun. And I am firmly convinced it is the nail in the coffin with so many Bible prophecy-related issues that can never be pulled off on a global scale as depicted in the book of Revelation, but it can't now. And again, as always, the point is for you and I to freak out and run to the hills. No, okay? It is what? Time to get excited, man. Rapture practice. Woohoo! Right? Jesus said what? He said, when these things begin to take place, what do? Stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. All this is signs for you and I, folks, that it's all being wrapped up for us. The bride of Christ, we ain't stepping 1 ounce of a nanosecond in the 7-year tribulation. At 7 years of God's wrath, we're not appointed to his wrath. We leave prior to the rapture, but we want to leave here faithful. We want to let other people know there's a way out of this mess. Amen? If you really love somebody, love them enough to tell them the truth, right? So somebody did for us. Didn't you appreciate that? So we need to be doing that. It's not a time to be fearful. It's a time to be faithful. But I will tell you this. If you're not saved, I don't know your heart. Going to a church service or watching one online, that don't save you any more than sitting in a barn makes you a cow. Notice I switched it from that chicken analogy, right? No, you got to be born again, right? Now, you can fool me, but you can't fool God. I'm not here to cause doubt, but if you're not saved, you better get saved right now. This is not a game. Even minute details are coming to pass for the first time in man's history, warned about 2,000 years ago from God, because he loves you and he doesn't want you to go into 7 years of his wrath on this planet. Get saved today. Amen? Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows he's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall to give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine x-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine x-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay? How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay? Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie, because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. If we're being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy. Even his name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step, to admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us.
That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us his son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. There's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it? And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive his pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what he was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon, so that you could be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth he is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.